Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm super excited to bring you today's guest,
comedian, writer, and video creator Jared Kassebaum, one of my absolute favorite West Coast comedians. He first performed for X2 Comedy at Restless Moons Brewing the summer of 2020 at one of our outdoor shows. The audience loved him. His comedy style blends naive storytelling with his charm, wit, and wordplay. He's super fun, super amazing, and we're lucky to spend some time with him here today. Welcome, Jared.
Hey, so good to be here.
Good. Hey, there was some echoing in there. What do you think? Do you hear it on your end?
I think it sounds great on my end.
Okay, cool. We'll just go with it. All right.
So,
yeah. I mean, I'm doing podcasts for the first time in my life. It's not going to look perfect. You know what? But hey, there's victory in doing something for the first time, isn't there?
Totally. I mean, you're doing great and you'll keep improving, but that's just how it is.
It's just how it is. Do you do podcasts yourself, by the way, just out of curiosity?
So I last year I tried to start one and then I never ended up releasing any because I recorded like five or six and then just kind of ended up punting on it. But I don't know. Part of me, I think, especially as a young guy, it was easy during the pandemic to see everybody doing a podcast and being like, man, I got to do a podcast if I want to keep up. And then eventually I was like, man, if I'm just contributing to the noise, if I don't have like an actual angle I want to take or something that I'm like uniquely trying to promote or say, I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to wait till something more passionate comes into my mind. Mm-hmm. But for now, I'm just doing. Yeah. So I haven't been.
Okay.
For a while, I was thinking about doing a podcast more on the trying to get comedians and artists to talk about how they live the rest of their life. Because I always think that's interesting to me of like, you know, comedians that have good marriages or like, what does that look like? Because that's something that I, as a young single guy, am like, want to figure out. I want to be a full-time comedian. I want to travel around, but I also want to be married and eventually have kids. So like, that's a topic that I'm really curious about. So I thought about trying to start something along those lines, but didn't quite get, I don't think, the interviews that I was really looking for out of that. So I've just kind of tabled that for now.
Okay. Now you're not from LA, are you? Where did you transplant?
No.
Where are you from?
Yeah. I grew up in Indiana. I grew up in Indianapolis and then I went to Purdue for 4 years. Yeah. And then I lived in Chicago for a little bit before coming to LA.
What did you major in at Purdue? I didn't know that. What did you
say? Yeah, it was actually kind of a winding road. I ended up with a degree in communication advertising, like the advertising subset of our communication school. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, but I actually went into Purdue originally as a physics major. And most of my childhood up through really the first year of college for me, I thought I was going to be a scientist. And I really thought I was going to get a PhD in physics. I like really thought I was going to get a PhD in physics going into school. I even had like a scholarship in the physics department to do research. So I was like my first year as a freshman, I was like essentially just doing grunt work in a lab for some time. And then, and we can totally go into this on the podcast if you want, because this is like the biggest pivotal moment in my life is that at the end of my freshman year at Purdue, one of my best friends actually took his own life. And that totally shifted everything in my life. So that was the first time I'd ever really examined, what do I actually want to do? Why am I doing this? What road am I on? What road do I want to be on? And that was when I first started to think through, oh, I want to do something that has like an emotional impact on people. I want to do something that's actually like about emotional connection and human connection. And I was starting to look all of a sudden at my physics professors' lives. And I was just like, wow, most of you guys just live in the lab and you don't really have friends other than the other physics professors. And none of you seem to have good marriages. And like all these things where I was like, ooh, okay, let me think through. My dad's a PhD biochemist.
Wow.
And did research for most of his life. He was a pharmaceutical researcher. So growing up, this is a fun story, because growing up, we would, as kids, my dad would like teach us molecular structures for like to do almost like house party tricks. So he would teach us like, what's the molecular structure of propane, or what's the molecular structure of DNA or something, right? And then we as like a 4 or 5 year old would like draw it on a napkin when we're like hanging out with my parents' friends, as just kind of like, ooh, nice, yay. And it was like, so growing up, I never, ever even considered a life in the arts. That wasn't even remotely on the table for me.
Right.
Anything artistic I ever did as a young kid. I was the kind of kid, and I regret this almost, and I've told now a couple of my high school English teachers that I'm sorry, because I was the type of kid in high school English class going, this class is pointless. Why do I need this? I'm going to be a scientist. I don't need to read Shakespeare. And I would tell that to their face. And I kind of regret it now, because now I look back and I'm like, man, I wish I would have appreciated that. Because now when I see high schoolers who don't want to read, you know, the books, or don't want to talk about these like deeper things and talk about language and talk about emotions, I'm like, man, you guys got to start young, because otherwise you kind of, it's like, it's hard. Like it gets harder and harder. And it wasn't until that pivotal moment in my life where my friend, he was studying abroad in Wales, actually. And he took his own life while he was over in Wales.
I'm sorry.
It was actually just passed yesterday. Last week was the 7 year like anniversary of that. Mm-hmm. And so there's very few days that go by that it doesn't come to mind. Mm-hmm. In some way, something remind me of him. And I think a lot of the decisions in my life have been impacted by that, and like what I look for in a career, what I look for in romance, what I look for in different things has really kind of been shaped by that event. And so in college, I went through like a year of not knowing what I wanted to do. I almost switched to computer science because I was like, that's like a more practical version of science. Like it's not right. Physics. I'm not going to be in a lab. I might still be in a company. I might still be a little creative. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, nah, it's not quite enough. And then I almost switched into like theater because I was like, that's the most opposite. But then I was like, okay, where can I kind of split the difference between science and theater? And so I leaned into advertising. And then I worked I've worked in coffee on and off throughout my life in between jobs, but I've also worked at a production company in Chicago. And then I even worked at an ad agency out here for a while in LA. And it's kind of been all over the place, but yeah, that's kind of been the journey there.
That is an incredible story. Life is a gift, isn't it? When something that tragic happens to us, we realize how short life really is. And we want to make the most of it. That's what I'm hearing from you, right?
Totally. And it was like, I had never examined what I actually wanted, mm-hmm. right? I think because my dad was a scientist, and because, at least in my experience, if you are even remotely good at math in middle school and high school, people don't tell you to look at anything else. Like when I was, you know, doing Algebra 2 or whatever in 7th or 8th grade, people were like, oh, you're getting good grades on this. You should either be a physicist, a chemist, or an engineer. And I was like never encouraged to look at really any other career path. And I get why on some level. I get that there are less people that have the aptitude to be an engineer. So if you can't be an engineer, you probably should be an engineer, is their line of thinking. And I kind of get that. But I think now whenever I see kids, and I volunteer with Young Life, which is like a high school mentoring organization. And I volunteer with Young Life here in Los Angeles. And so when I interact with high schoolers, I'm always trying to like try to provide the balance there too, because I see kids that were like me. And I'm like, yeah, you are good at math, but also like figure out what you actually want, and don't just allow your guidance counselor or your teachers, who are very well-meaning, to just only tell you that because you're good at algebra in middle school, or because calculus came easy in high school, that you shouldn't pursue anything in the arts. Because I think that was what I kind of implicitly understood from the way they were encouraging me. And then, and then it wasn't until my friend died that I was like, what do I actually like? And I was like, man, I like movies more than anybody else at Purdue that I could tell, right? Like Purdue's a mainly engineering and agriculture school. And I loved Purdue, and I still love Purdue, and I'm drinking out of a Purdue coffee mug right now.
Nice,
big fan. Love it. I wouldn't have traded those years for anything because I did learn so much. But at the same time, there's not like a film school. There weren't like nobody's going to Purdue for the arts. No offense to anybody who did, I guess. But nobody is. Like,
Yeah.
And so it was like so I started to really lean into like by the end of my years at Purdue, too, I was like making a lot of videos and I was even starting to get paid for like making a sorority welcome video or making, you know, even some local businesses making some side money by doing that. So ironically, because it was, even though it's a pretty big school, there weren't a lot of people pursuing that type of thing. So it was nice that by the end, like even within comedy, by the end of my time at Purdue, I was hosting Battle of the Bands and stuff like that because that there weren't a ton of people who really wanted to. And so I was given a lot of opportunities pretty early on to do that.
They got some sirens out there, right? Is that?
Yeah, that's me. My bad.
That's all right. You can't help that. So that's interesting to me. It gave you a lot of stage time for sure. But how did you transition from the science to comedy? Well, I guess it sounds like you transitioned into comedy during your time at Purdue, if I'm hearing you right.
Yeah, yeah. My first open mic was my sophomore year at Purdue.
Right.
And then I didn't really pursue it hard, though, until the summer before my senior year. And then I was trying to do as many mics and trying to hit stuff around town. And my summers were all in Indianapolis, where I grew up. So I was like, Indianapolis has a decent scene. So I was like performing as much as I could in Indy. And then driving back and forth, or like there are people that would put on shows in other small towns in Indiana. So I'd be driving an hour away from Purdue to do 10 minutes on a show at a bar in Crawfordsville, Indiana, or something like that. The route most specifically, my favorite comedian for all of time and still is Pete Holmes. I don't know if you know Pete. I've met him a couple times now and I'm really thankful to have, he's had a few like HBO specials and he had an HBO show that ran for three seasons too, but he's a really funny, really earnest comedian. I've really been drawn to how kind of earnest he is. And, just like he's trying to be a goofy guy on stage. And that's kind of how I picture myself. I don't want to be a cynical guy on stage. I want to try to just be a fun, goofy guy on stage. And so, but what's funny to me is that I discovered Pete. I knew of him a little bit in high school because I had seen his Comedy Central Presents when I was in high school. And I remember thinking this is really funny. But when I was a physics major at Purdue, Pete Holmes' podcast interviewed a physicist that I was really into. And so I started listening to his podcast because I got turned on to it by an interview he did with a physicist. And then I started listening to his podcast like consistently every week. And then I remember very distinctly listening to the podcast that Pete Holmes interviews Sinbad, the big, you know, comedian, yeah. You know, so he interviews Sinbad. And I remember mowing my dad's lawn in Indianapolis the summer between my freshman and sophomore year at Purdue, mowing my dad's lawn, just thinking, man, I've got to try this sometime because the way they talk about it sounds like the most fun thing in the world. And Sinbad in this podcast is talking about how he was just very audacious as a young comedian and would essentially like force his way onto stages and then risk being kicked out of the venue. But occasionally they wouldn't kick him out because he was funny enough. And I was just like, man, that's what a life, you know, how fun. And then ironically, I actually am a part of a church in LA that like one of Sinbad's kids goes to too. So I'm like every now and then I'm like, I hope I can see him and tell him this story sometime. but yeah, it's just, so I just think it's so funny how kind of how I almost like came into knowing about this podcast, the Pete Holmes podcast, by a physicist, but then the podcast led me to actually starting to do comedy, which is almost, you know, the most opposite you can be from a physicist. But I think there's a mindset that can translate, right? Like I like to think that my jokes can analyze wordplay and, you know, the mindset can be a similar scientific analysis of human behavior and allow that mindset to kind of write the jokes a little bit. So I like to think the skill set transfers, but, you know, maybe not.
Maybe not, but I think it brings a unique perspective. There's no doubt about that. I've seen that in your style, which I really appreciate. Yeah. This has been a
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. This has been a challenging year for comedians with COVID. You also, though, write and are a video creator. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you've spent your time when the world's been shut down these last several months in general? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. I think, you know, I mean, I think like a lot of comedians, the first couple of months, I just kind of sat still thinking, oh, this will be over soon, you know? So the first many months, I didn't really do too much. And looking back, I'm like, maybe I wish I had, but what's done is done. I was making the best decisions that I could. And, you know, I mean, I've been trying to make some sketch stuff, and I've done a lot of leaning into like trying to turn stories that I've always enjoyed telling as a person, but never really found the right way to do them on stage into longer videos. And some of those have had success. My favorite is like, I met James Gunn one time in LA, who's like the director of Guardians of the Galaxy and a couple other pretty big movies. But I have like a really weird connection to James Gunn because my grandma actually lives at the same nursing home as James Gunn's next door neighbor when he grew up. And one time I met her and she knew I lived in LA and was like, oh, if you ever see James, tell him I said, hey. And I was like, there's no way that'll ever happen.
Right.
But then I did. I like ran into him at an ice cream shop in LA one time. And I was able to tell him that this woman in St. Louis, Missouri says hello. And his mind was blown, and it was just so fun to like have this little connection. Anyway, it's like that story he shared actually when I posted that video, I tagged him in it and he shared it on social media. And it's like, there's like been little victories in that area. So that's just like been fun to lean into that. I mean, overall, you know, it's objectively worse than pre-COVID, right? There's no getting around that. I think like when it comes to being a performance leaning artist, performing is my favorite thing, right? I mean, it's like, if that's when I feel the most free, when I feel the most myself, when I can just like lean into the weird parts of myself the most, it's like, that's what's fun. And so the pressure of making a video feels different even than the pressure of being on stage, because the pressure of making a video, you're like, when I release this, this is the one version of this joke that people see. Versus stand up, you're always able to improve the next version of the joke. And until you maybe even put out an album or a special, you're never done really with the joke. Right. Yeah. Versus when I like am making these videos, you're like, okay, well, once I record it and I edit it, there's no other version of this that anybody's going to see. So the pressure just feels different, and it's definitely less fun for me, but I'm trying to lean into that.
I like that. What has been something that surprised you, a pleasant surprise this last year for you? In terms of growth in your craft.
Yeah. I mean, I think that on a couple levels, so, you know, I've leaned in a lot to like reading a lot more books in general. I've always loved reading, but I've just had an abundance of time during this. So spiritually, I've been reading a lot of like old monastic writings from like middle ages, and then even into the last couple centuries of like contemplative Christianity, and kind of exploring a different side of the tradition of Christianity that I wasn't exposed to as a child, being a Christian myself. And so that's been something that's really helped me, I think, find a different kind of internal like ability to stay still when I want to be anxious, because I'm a pretty naturally anxious person. So I have noticed that even just that spiritual side of things has definitely helped, I think, when I've, you know, been anxious when it comes to the arts too. So it's kind of a larger, vaguer answer than anything specific. But and then the other thing, and I know you kind of want to talk about this too, so we could just totally could be a segue into that. But I've, for like the last 5 years, I've made content about cranberry juice.
Yes.
And it's really hard to kind of catch people up to the full story, but essentially I've been making videos and posts and like done like fake photo shoots and like really poured a decent chunk of my free time and money into this of trying to act as if I am the national commercial spokesperson for Ocean Spray, who historically has not had a commercial spokesperson. They're like, you know, the two men in a bog or all that stuff. Yeah, and almost all their social media content. And almost all their social media content has been like recipes for like pretty much their entire existence. They don't really lean into anything like comedic. So I've been trying to like push for that for years. And I've started to kind of like get on their radar in the last couple of years, more than just their social media manager. But if you, like 5 years ago, I made a video because I couldn't find one of my favorite products of Ocean Sprays in store, which is the raspberry cranberry Cran Energy Juice, which is a cranberry juice, raspberry juice mixed with green tea. And so it actually has caffeine in it. I think it's like the most tasty, delicious thing I've ever tasted. And I stand by that. And even as you'll see from later parts in this story, I've been definitely a little bit cynical toward Ocean Spray lately, but that juice remains my favorite drink I've ever had. If I could drink that, and I even have a recurring Amazon shipment for 3 6-packs of that juice every month to get sent to me. Because in LA, for real, the first week of the month, every month, I get 3 6-packs of this juice, of three 6-packs of 10-ounce bottles of this juice. Because in LA, I can't find it. I don't know why in LA I can't find it. They haven't canceled the product, but it's not in very many stores. When you go online, this is just always so funny. When you go online and you look at the reviews of this juice on the Ocean Spray website, every review says, this is the best thing I've ever drank, but I can't find it in my hometown. Where is it? And it's just 10s and 10s of reviews saying this is delicious, but why aren't you putting it into stores more?
Yeah.
And I'm very much on that page of like, guys, I don't think you realize how tasty this is, but they market it as an energy drink, which is stupid. They market it like a monster. They're trying to get it in that, like, oh, are you a trucker and you're tired or whatever? It's like, nobody's going to pick a cranberry juice for that. You got to market it as a delicious drink because that's what it is.
Okay.
So anyway,
I have not had this drink.
Like, most people haven't.
You need to bring me one next time you come to a show. I don't even know.
I'll try to make it happen. Yeah. But the last 2 months, even Amazon has been out. So I haven't even had it. I just got an email a couple days ago saying that my April shipment won't happen. Wow. Because apparently Amazon distribution doesn't have it either. So I'm like, Ocean Spray, where are you at? Like, y'all are losing money on this. This is your best product. You got to lean into this. And so I've been making content really about that one specific product for years. And obviously I'm very passionate about it.
Yeah.
The social media content I make is definitely exaggerated, but there is a good chunk of this that is very real, that I do love their juice. And I've been making that for years. So a few years ago, I made this poem called Why Cranberry Juice Inspires Me. And I made a video for this poem. Yeah. And then I realized like this would actually be a really good part of my live set, because I don't really talk about the cranberry juice too much in my live stand-up because it feels like there's too much to catch people up on. And I'm like, if I'm only doing like a 10-minute set, I don't want 10 minutes of like background of my relationship with cranberry juice. So
okay. Fair.
If I do a 15-minute set or longer, I'll usually end with this 4-minute poem that I do over a piano, little piano chord progression. I'm not a huge musician, but I know enough. I think I did it on at your show.
Yes, you
in
did.
In
great.
Last July. Yeah. And I use it as my closer because I, at the end of this song, I essentially get the entire audience to sing what feels like a hymn about cranberry juice together. And it's just the most fun, stupid, silly thing I can ever do. And it's so fun. So anyway, that is part of it. And then last year, this is where the story really, is really picking up. It keeps going. Is I made a video trying during COVID of like, what else can I do? I made a rap. I'm not a rapper, and actually the song really leans into the fact that I'm not a rapper. The song pretty even explicitly says he's not a rapper, but he loves your juice. And so I try to like lean into that because I don't want anybody to dissect it for its rapping capabilities.
Sure.
I want people to think it's a good silly song. And I do that partly because I made a couple rap songs in college about Purdue basketball comedically that got ripped apart by local news.
Okay.
One of those songs that I made, it was my junior year of college. I made a song about Purdue basketball, about the March Madness. I thought it was hilarious. And none of my videos had really breached a few tens of thousands of views at that point. But all of a sudden, a couple local news outlets picked up on my song specifically because they thought it was so bad. And I'm like, yeah, I wasn't trying to be a musician anyway. So now when I make raps or any like comedic songs, I really try to make it clear I'm a comedian, not a rapper. But
for the record,
I'm like, if you think I'm like a serious musician anyway. But so I made another song last September about it. about Ocean Spray, and it addresses Ocean Spray directly. It leans really heavily into like, hey, I've been doing this for a while. Can you give me a chance to make a YouTube video for you? Anything that I could like come to a cranberry bog and like make a video actually like at one of your facilities or something like that. And they loved it actually. I got really lucky. I shared it on LinkedIn, which was the first of my cranberry related content that I've actually shared on LinkedIn. And a lot of Ocean Spray people saw it. It got passed around and I started getting DMs on LinkedIn and on Instagram left and right of people within Ocean Spray being like, we love this. This is hilarious. I got contacted by somebody in their marketing team to talk about potentially making videos for their YouTube channel.
Nice.
And it was great. I even like had a Zoom meeting last October with their marketing team or part of their marketing team. And I thought things were picking up. I was like, this is great. I might actually like get paid to make content that I've been doing for years. But then, and this is where it just gets crazy, is I don't know if you saw this really viral video of an Idaho potato farmer whose car broke down and he skateboards to work. But for some reason, he decides to skateboard to work while drinking Ocean Spray cranberry juice, specifically their cran raspberry flavor. And he's drinking, he's carrying a full liter bottle, like one of the big ones, and he's carrying it and he's skateboarding down a street while the sun is rising. So it's just like beautiful setting. And he's lip syncing to Fleetwood Mac, the song Dreams. And it went mega viral. Like it got over 100 million views on TikTok. It got like tens of millions of views on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And Ocean Spray, within a week, had he already signed him to a marketing deal to essentially be the face of their social media. I don't know if they like signed him to a deal, but he just all of a sudden became the face of their social media. All of a sudden, every post now includes him. And if you look at their social media from pre-October of 2020 versus post-October of 2020, it's a vastly different tone. Pre-October of 2020, Ocean Spray is family friendly, their recipes, their farmers, that's their vibe. Cause they're like they're an owner grown co-op is their business model. So they don't have an owner. All of the people who grow cranberries for Ocean Spray are part owners of the corporation. But that used to be their vibe. And then after this video, so this guy's name is Dogface, that's his social media handle for this guy who blew up with this video. He blows up literally the week that I have the marketing meeting with Ocean Spray.
Wow.
And so I get inundated with texts and DMs from people, like dozens and dozens, probably close to 100 of people saying, Jared, have you seen this video? What are you going to do about it? This guy's, you know, encroaching on your territory. And I'm like, I think it's hilarious. They ended up giving him a truck, even an Ocean Spray branded truck for like, as a thank you.
I think and I remember so, seeing you post something about this truck, I think.
It was crazy. It was a crazy week because it was both my, it was a high for me, but it turned into a low for me because so they gave this guy a truck. And so I went on my Instagram story just saying like, hey, everybody's asking me my thoughts on this. I think it's hilarious. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for Ocean Spray. I made a couple jokes of like, am I bummed they've never given me a truck? Absolutely. Does my 200,000 mile 2007 Pontiac Vibe, is it feeling a little old right now when I'm looking at this new truck? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But also I'm happy for them because they made a lot of money off this because people were trying to like recreate the trend. And so all of a sudden people are buying Ocean Spray in numbers that they've never bought Ocean Spray before. So anyway, I get an email the next day essentially telling me that our conversations for me to be a part of their YouTube content is done because they told me I was too negative in those jokes. They saw that as a negative thing. And I was like really mad at myself for a few days. I was almost crying when I saw that email because I was like, man, I felt like I was this close. And then did I screw something up? And now I look back and I think, okay, I think they probably just were looking for a reason to not move forward with me because now this other guy's been so profitable for them. And I get that business has got to do what business has got to do. So I don't blame them for that, but it did feel frustrating because it felt like all of a sudden they ghosted me. Cause then I responded, I was like, hey, I didn't think I was being negative. I thought I was just making a stupid joke about how I have an old car, right? Like I didn't think it was about you. I thought it was about me. And, never heard back. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden I look, and this is what almost feel, it almost feels like a bad breakup, because all of a sudden I look and this marketing manager who I had the meeting with, he blocks me on LinkedIn after me not even responding, before I had even responded to his email. And I was like, whoa, this just feels really kind of over the top. So felt like a bad breakup. So lately I've been trying to lean into the vibes that it feels like a bad breakup. And so actually, and it'll have come out probably by the time that this podcast airs, is that yesterday, like literally yesterday from the filming of this podcast, I filmed a new music video that will hopefully be out by this time. That is a breakup song with Ocean Spray about how I got broken up with. So I think okay. I was, for a while, I was trying to figure out, do I try to repair this relationship? Do I burn the bridge and like make a song addressing it head on? And then I was like, you know what? I don't think there's any bridge to be burned. I'm just going to make a song about it and follow the narrative and follow the fact that it's kind of funny that this happened and allow myself to just kind of keep going. And, not feel like I need to shift my content based on the whims of a juice company. So
yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Moving on, right?
But that is pretty much the whole journey so far. Yeah. So this song is like a R&B style breakup song. But at the end of the song, I open myself up to new juice brands and I kind of say like, hey, I'm on the market now.
I can't wait to listen and see this video. I can't wait to see it.
So I'm pretty psyched about it. That'll definitely be, you know, every time I make a big video like this, I'm like, this is my shot to get on Ellen. And then I never do, but that's definitely my feeling right now.
That's what we all think, right?
You're like, oh, Ellen's going to love this.
Yeah. I'll be the next guest tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I hope you do end up on it, Ellen. She'd be lucky to have you. That's what I think. You're amazing.
Thank you, Don. You're the new Ellen in my eyes.
Oh, you just mean my day. That's exciting. I'm so glad. I did not know the details of your sordid Ocean Spray affair, but are you still going to keep, I guess one question, are you still going to keep drinking their favorite beverage? I guess you are. You're getting the orders to your house.
Yeah.
Certainly there's no conspiracy.
It's too good. Like,
of them stopping.
No. To your house. I sure hope not. I do legitimately love the juice. So like, yeah. I'll keep drinking it and I'm still going to support the brand on some level, but I also just kind of want to follow how funny this feels to me.
Yeah, cause
like
good.
This dot, you like one of the lines that's in the song that I made, but like also I just think it's so funny. Is like this guy Dogface, he beat me at a game that literally only I was playing. He didn't even know he was playing the game. Yeah, and he beat me. And it's like, and I just think that's so funny that like I've tried this for 5 years and he makes a video pretty much on accident.
Yep.
And now like it was like I remember seeing in the news he bought a new house with his Ocean Spray money. You know what I mean? Like he's living the dream that literally I pursued for like 5 years. And it's just so funny to me. So
yeah.
I'm just like, I just got to follow how that feels funny and see where it goes from there.
You got to feel all the feels. That's what I've been learning lately. Because if you don't. Yeah. Next thing you know, you're blowing up over something trivial 10 years later and you don't know why, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
Lean into the feels. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are going to be coming out here again in Virginia in July, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's July 9th and 10th, right?
That is correct. Yes. So he's coming up.
Y'all
are going to want to check Jared out because he'll be at our new summer series at One Tribe Farm, July 9th. And we'll tell you more about that. But you can go ahead and mark your calendar now. We'll put some information also in the show notes. And then the next night on a Saturday, he's going to be part of our comedy and Kazumba event at the Friendly City Dance Room, doing a couple of sets for us that weekend. So we couldn't be more excited to bring it back. Maybe we'll get to hear a little bit of that R&B song he just recently wrote. We'll see. So stay tuned.
We'll see.
Get those tickets. get them. Yes. So let's close with this. Can how can the listeners best follow you and keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. I think my Instagram is definitely, I feel like my central kind of port for all my other stuff too. But so that's my name, Jared Kassebaum, is the, it would be like just a name on the Instagram, but the handle is Kassebaum, which is KASSTHEBOMB. So it's like my last name, Kassebaum, but kind of a pun on that. So that's my Instagram. And then actually all my social media is that handle. So I've got TikTok on that. My Facebook like account page for the comedian part of me is that. My Twitter handle is that. And my YouTube channel is also that. So a lot of the videos that I've mentioned on this, I post on both YouTube and Instagram, but, and then, I post all my show dates on Instagram and Facebook, and yeah.
You also have a
website. And I've got a website, jaredkassebaum.com. Yes, yes.
So let's
jaredkassebaum.com. So yes.
How do you spell Kassebaum? I'll put it in the show notes, but just in case someone wants to take a look.
Sure. Yeah, my last name, Kassebaum, it's German. It's directly translated. It means cash register tree. It's K-A-S-S-E-B-A-U-M.
Yes, the first name, Jared, J-A-R-E-D. So jaredkassebaum.com.
Yeah, jaredkassebaum.com.
For any of the other beverage companies out there looking for rip.
Yeah. Tropicana, where you at? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. You got your spokesperson right here. He's got all the skills.
I'll switch to, if you got the money, I'll switch to orange juice. I got you.
You can do it. I'm telling you, you got all the skills to pay their bills.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for.
In your own. I'm so excited. This has been super, super fun. Please, folks, come out and see him perform. You will not be disappointed. He's hilarious. And I believe that you'll be able to say one day you saw him win right here in Virginia.
I appreciate that.
This has been great. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us. And we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.